Welcome to Comics.
Episode 216. This week, we talk about
The Tick, Sunday through Wednesday.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes, see what we're reading next, send us a message, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics.
And now, the cast review.
You guys watch the Legends of Tomorrow trailer that DC put out?
I sure did. And my first reaction was, damn, I need to get caught up on Flash and Arrow.
Right? That was my first, like, it looks awesome, but my other thought was like, man, there's already, like, weeks of continuity I have to catch up with.
But the show, here's the thing, right? The season's probably going to end pretty soon for both of those shows.
So yeah, Flash is this week. Catch up. Yeah, it's just like, that's the thing. Like, I really liked it and I was excited by it, but that was my first, when we were watching it and things were coming up that were like just going to be for the show, my wife was like, wait, did we miss that? Did we miss those episodes? Did we not see that? And it's like, no. We saw everything. There's just more things and that's awesome. But it's kind of like, I got that sense of, this is why DC does things like the New 52, because there's just too much continuity.
Well, that's true. You can't say that that's just DC. I mean, that's true about comic books in general. I mean, so, like, the last episode of Flash I watched was the one where they figure out who the Reverse Flash is under the mask.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it since then.
And the next one's amazeballs.
Not because I have been, like, trying to avoid the show.
Has one of my favorite movies in it.
I just haven't watched it that much. I've been watching other things, and so when I saw the Legends of Tomorrow trailer, I found that to be pretty exciting, except it was confusing in some ways also, because I thought, who is White Canary? Is Sarah alive again? Because I felt like she already came back from the dead ones.
It showed her like coming up out of the Lazarus pit, I thought. Like in the trailer.
Did that happen in the show? I don't know.
I don't know if it happened in the show. I saw it in the trailer. I have no idea about the show. We're like months behind.
Yeah. So, but one thing that I really like about this show, about what got me excited about is the trailer is that we got another superpowered hero.
Yeah.
In being Hawkgirl.
Hell yeah.
Which Hawkgirl is one of my favorite characters from the
animated cartoon.
The animated cartoon.
She's amazing. You got a problem? Anything at all? Hit it with a mace. Solution.
And so I think it's awesome that they're going to bring Hawkgirl into the show. One thing that was a little disappointing to me in the trailer, and maybe this is different because I haven't, like I said, I'm behind on Arrow, but it seemed like Ray Palmer was basically Iron Man.
Yeah.
Until and they were like, oh yeah, he also shrinks.
Yeah, he's basically Iron Man.
Which is,
like, the way that they've built the story, it makes sense, because he's basically like Tony Stark, but Pixie Dream Girl version.
Yes, he's a Zooey Deschanel of Tony Stark.
He is. I swear to God, he is.
Well, that's why it's part of me enjoys the relationship with Felicity.
Yeah.
But then also is, like, a little bit annoyed by it, because it's like Pixie Dream Girls colliding with one another, right?
Yeah.
But anyways, like, I do like, I like that this is something that's happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Totally. Like, Smallville was the only thing on DC for so long, and it was like, okay, this is kind of, but there's, with every little bit of Smallville that was neat, there was a heavy, heavy coating of corniness, and like, it was almost like comics meets Xena, you know?
One thing that I will
Which
say
is
that,
bad, but
one
it wasn't
thing
my
that
favorite.
I will say that kind of bothers me about Arrow and Flash is that sometimes, well, this isn't a problem for me, but I imagine it's a problem for others. You kind of have to watch both shows because there's so much crossover. Yeah. It's like reading comics.
Yep. Which, when they have the cross, they do that. They do the same thing. They have crossover events.
Which is okay because, you know, for me it's fine because I like watching both shows. But, I'm sure there are people who only like one or the other. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But yeah. My wife and I. We're at the point now where we're considering not watching Arrow anymore.
I think The Flash is really good, and I think that Arrow was good before for some reasons, and now it's good for better reasons. And I think, or not for better reasons, for other reasons, I should say. But as a fan of comics, I think the show caters more to comic book fans than to the CW crowd.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Like the people who are watching Vampire Diaries, because it's got a little, it's got a little crazy with the, ever since the whole, you know, where he fought Deathstroke in the city.
Yeah.
At the end of season two.
That's when they're like, we're going off the rails. Fuck it.
Yeah, it just went fucking crazy after that because there was like,
Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul and Lazarus Pits. And, well, we didn't see a Lazarus Pit yet, but I imagine that's coming. And I think that they needed to do that, especially if they were going to integrate Flash into the universe.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, whatchamacallit, you can't show, like, superpowered beings running around the world and then have Arrow stay in his little bubble. Especially because in the comics, he fights superpowered people, you know?
Yeah. Well, and half of the people that Flash is fighting, Arrow could fight.
Yeah, people like Captain Cold and...
Captain Cold, Heatwave, Rainbow Raider.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all shit he could fight. Like, it's not like they're on such different power levels. Even the people that do have powers, it's not like they would just obliterate Oliver Queen and Arrow.
Yeah, I mean, I figure at some point in the show, it's just like... we're gonna have maybe like season 6 or 7 of Flash. He's gonna fight Anti-Monitor, and we're gonna get Crisis on Infinite Earth.
That would actually be fucking amazing.
No, I'm just kidding. They're gonna have an Anti-Monitor on the CW.
I don't know. You might get with Legends of Tomorrow. They tease Rip Hunter and going through time, and you might get like flashes of things as you breeze down.
I'm a little annoyed that Rip Hunter is British.
Cause
why?
Because every time traveler has to be British.
Not even that, but he's just not British. I think that's my comic book fanboy peeking out a little bit.
Yeah.
It's
the wrong vibe, right? Like, the vibe with Rip Hunter being British is much more like Doctor Who and all of the, like, the vibe that's attached to that in different ways. Whereas he should be like, I don't know, almost like a time-traveling Indiana Jones?
He's too sassy.
Yeah.
In the trailer, he was far too sassy.
He needs to... He's like a swashbuckling time traveler, kind of, like...
Yeah, like, Rip Hunter in the comics... And see, this is a problem, right? Is I'm saying Rip Hunter in the comics, which is...
Already puts you off.
You can't watch the show that... You can't watch any of this outside of comics media with... hoping that it's going to stick to the comics exactly.
No, like, my wife will ask me, like, is that what it's like in the comics, or what happens in the comics? And I'll be like, well, this is what happens in the comics, but, like, Iris is white in the comics, so, like, everything here is similar and a little different. Like, it definitely pulls inspiration from the comics, but it's not straight out of the comics. So, whatever I'm telling you, there might be bits and pieces of it there, but it might be completely different. Like, we know that Grodd is in the Flash TV universe, but I don't think there's Gorilla City.
Yeah.
You know? And I can tell you what Grodd is and what Grodd does, but I don't really know where they're going to make Grodd from.
Well, I think to answer your question, it seems like he is an experiment by Harrison Wells, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's another Star Labs thing, which is fine.
No, yeah. So, the other thing that we finally watched the Supergirl trailer.
I haven't
what did you think?
So.
It just there's too much of like I couldn't understand why there was so much of her not being Supergirl for so long, and then why she was like iffy. I don't know if I want to be Supergirl. You're Supergirl. Why would you not like? I don't know. It just seemed like
because she's the Zoe Deschanel of the universe.
It just there wasn't any sense to why though.
Grant looked into it more. Apparently, it's going to also be a procedural. It's not like action or anything. She's going to solve crimes, and I don't really understand that tone-wise for her.
Yeah, that's. I mean, okay. If you want the blonde go-getter, if you want the blonde go-getter in the high-powered world crime solver, get Stephanie Brown. That exists already. Get Batgirl. Get Barbara fucking Gordon even.
Restart Birds of Prey. It used to be a show. Yeah. Just make a new one.
Or they could just make it, they could call it Supergirl, but make it about Power Girl. And have the CEO, right?
Yeah. Power Girl would not solve crime though.
Well, no, solve she'd crimes, beat up crime. But she could just beat the shit out of robots and stuff.
Yeah. I'd watch that.
I would watch the fuck out of that.
Yeah, we know you would. No, I haven't watched the Supergirl trailer. Mostly because I have, it's really strange, but I don't have a lot of interest in the idea of Supergirl. So, I'll go watch it at some point, but, that's not something that excites me for some reason.
This is the thing. Is female superheroes do excite me. Wait, that came out wrong. This is something.
It didn't, Andy.
No,
this
that
is something, exactly how you want
this is something I normally would be really interested in, but this, I don't know. There's nothing in this trailer that made me go, yeah, I think I want to watch that. It was just kind of like, why is. Why is the fetching coffee? If we're gonna have the female superhero be the empowered woman and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, like you said, David, why not make her in charge of something instead of just fetching coffee and being frustrated being the assistant? And there was a whole thing in the trailer where her boss was like, you got a problem with girl, this is break it down, this and that. Then I don't know. It felt very, there's a big chunk of soapboxiness in here.
Did you from guys see men. Did you guys see the SNL fake trailer for Black Widow, the Black Widow movie?
No, I didn't see that.
So it's basically Black Widow in, The Devil Wears Prada. I think did we talk about this a little bit last week?
Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah.
It's really funny, but it sounds like Supergirl is like what this Black Widow show is.
Yeah,
the fake Black Widow movie.
It really, really is, and you should watch it. So that we can talk about it as a threesome next time and not
all right,
bring
I'll
it up for the next month or two.
I'll watch it before we go into the before we do the next episode. Before we go into the topic of this week's episode, since we're talking about comic book TV shows, have you guys finished watching Daredevil?
Oh yes.
I just finished it last night.
We devoured it. Did you like it?
Oh, I thought it was so good. I loved it. I think the reason why it took me so long to watch it is because I didn't want to get to the end. Because I wanted it to go on forever. And so when I watched the last episode, I was very, like I said, I didn't want it to end, but man, that show, that 13th episode was so good.
Yeah.
It was so good I feel like maybe they couldn't put all the stuff that's in Arrow, or excuse me, in Daredevil on TV, like in a normal TV show, but since it's on Netflix, can get away with a little bit more.
Well, they avoided, all the common pitfalls. They made a story, and then they made the characters, be who they were. They didn't just try to, fill roles. It felt like very genuine to the tone of the comic.
Hmm.
And there weren't tropes that a lot of TV shows have. It wasn't here's the superhero and here's the love interest and here's the plucky sidekick and that kind of thing. All the characters were even people like Foggy Nelson or Karen or Claire, the the nurse, who's played by Rosario Dawson. I love Rosario Dawson. She's one of my favorite actresses, too, so I was really happy to see her in the show. But they were all, like, complicated and interesting characters. And, man, you know, Charlie, what's his name? The guy who plays Matt Murdock? I forget what his name is. Charlie Cox. He was really, really good in the show, but Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin stole the show, man.
They did such a good job of making Kingpin sympathetic and likable.
Yeah.
Like he was so interesting.
But as the show went on, in the first 12 episodes, you are kind of, well, at least for me, like you said, Jen, I was very sympathetic to Kingpin, but man, in the last episode, I was like, that's Kingpin that I mm-hmm. am familiar with. I was like, this guy is, you don't mess with this guy.
Yeah, I really like that they had the love romancing be between Kingpin and his wife, because, you know, his, like, wife is important in the comics.
Yeah.
But I kind of figured they'd, like, leave it out. But instead, it was like, you know, it's not about Daredevil falling in love with someone. It's about Kingpin falling in love. And that was, like, a really cool way to pull that off.
And she's, like, so central to his character's growth.
Yeah.
Which, it's, I can't say enough good things about that show. I'm glad that they're going to make a second season. And I'm glad, and I hope that Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and
Misty Knight,
eventually the Defenders show, they all are is exactly like Daredevil, but in their own ways, you know?
Hey, Andy, have you finished watching Daredevil?
We haven't watched the episode one.
Oh, okay. You know, when you finish it, we should do, like, just a one-episode interlude review of it.
Yeah, I'd be down for that.
That'd be really fun.
Today would have been a great day to power through it, but my wife, we had some errands to run, and my wife was feeling a little lazy this morning, so I was like, okay, to help spur a decision, we can either go run those errands, or I'm finally forcing you to watch Clone Wars. And she was like, fine, Clone Wars. So we just watched the ones about the troopers.
Nice.
Started in season 3, and she was like, oh my god, this is really good. I'm like, yeah, the movie sucked. Sorry for starting there.
The other day, I felt like watching Clone Wars, and I was like, what episode should I watch? And I just watched the 3 episodes with General Krell.
Oh, yeah, that's where we're coming up next on, because we're just doing stuff on the troopers, so we did the ones where you see Domino Squad complete their training,
mm-hmm.
then you see them on the Moon Outpost back in season 1, then we jumped back to season 3 for the invasion of the Kamino.
Yeah, that's a good, I mean, chronologically, that's narratively
how it happened. And then we did the 3 episodes rescuing Tarkin and Evan Peel from the Citadel. And next is Krell, because I want to show her, like, so far all you see is people being respectful to their clones. What happens when a Jedi Master sees his clones as, like, droids, basically?
He sees them as straight-up cannon fodder.
Yeah, they are cannon fodder. And he wins his battles, but they are cannon fodder.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see her get all indignant about that.
Yeah. Knowing your wife, she definitely will.
Yeah.
So one more point about Daredevil before we move on.
All right.
I love that Daredevil takes place in the same universe as the Marvel movies, but they don't like beat it over your head.
Like, yeah.
This isn't really much of a spoiler, Andy.
Yeah.
But Ben Urich, he's in the show. In his office on the wall, he has a bunch of, like, articles framed, because he's a newspaper reporter, right? And one of them is Battle for New York, and it has a picture of one of those Chitauri, like, space whale things, like, dead.
Oh, awesome.
But one of Kingpin's henchmen makes a joke about, well, if you had a magic hammer or a suit of, suit of armor, blah, blah, blah. And so it's like, it all exists, and there are repercussions for the fact that that happened in New York, but it doesn't affect the daily life of anybody in Daredevil's little corner of New York, you know, in Hell's Kitchen. And so it's cool. I really like it, you know. I thought that was a really nice little nod to say, hey, yes, it's all the same universe, but, you know, what happened back then in Avengers is not part of Daredevil. It's not part of Daredevil's life. But it leaves, like, a lot of stuff open, you know, which I really like.
That's good. So anyways, that's good open-end storytelling.
Yeah.
It's all good stuff. Yeah. So you guys ready to talk about this week's comic?
Yes.
All right.
This week's comic.
This week we read The Tick Omnibus Volume 1 Sunday through Wednesday by Ben Edlund. That collects Tick 1 through 6. And if it seems like we talked a lot about other things leading up to this, it's because we did that on purpose. Because, okay, I gotta tell you, when I would tell other friends of mine that I have had no exposure to The Tick, they go, what? What did you watch on Sunday morning? Or what did you watch on Saturday morning? Like, oh, it's amazing, this and that. I'm like, but you know it was a comic, right? Like, I'm sure the cartoon was phenomenal and fun, but it's a comic and we're reading the comic first and then we'll do that. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, when you do the cartoon, come back to me.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I am familiar with The Tick only from the cartoon show.
Same.
I knew it was, I don't think immediately I knew it was a comic, but eventually I learned that it was a comic. And then, I also was aware of the show, the live action show with Patrick Warburton, but I have never watched that either. So this was my first foray into The Tick outside of the cartoon.
How does it, is the tone feel similar?
It's a little more like off the wall. The Tick, the cartoon, I think is goofier in maybe a more like genre savvy or satirical fashion.
Okay.
I just actually started rewatching all of the Tick cartoon last week.
I did too. As soon as we finished recording last week's episode, I started watching it. It's all on YouTube too, so, you know, if you want to easily find it, it's on YouTube. The quality's pretty good, so.
Alright. I have to say, I really enjoy the opener for this comic. Just in a padded cell. I feel restrained and bored. Bored.
So that picks himself that's out. That's something where the comic and the cartoon differ. The Tick is not does clinically not open insane. With him in with an insane asylum, and he's not like an escaped mental patient.
Cause it's pretty consistent here. This guy is not just weird or wacky. He is stupid and insane.
Oh yeah. Not live in the same reality as the rest of us. That's kind of a fact.
Well, I mean, this reality is definitely weird on its own. But that's the other thing, too, is, like, we're seeing all this through the Tick, so is the Tick our unreliable narrator in a bunch of this stuff? Or is this world really this wacky? It doesn't even matter. Like, that's the thing with a lot of this, like, satire funny kind of stuff, is I can ask these questions, but does it even matter whose perspective it is? I mean, at a certain point, there's a place called Ninja World, and the evil character in charge of it is the district manager.
I don't think it does matter. This comic is, like, absurd for the sake of being absurd and mm-hmm. poking fun at, you know...
all kinds of shit.
Clichés in comic books. I mean, Clark Oppenheimer, right?
Yeah.
But what's funny about this, these first six issues, a lot of the jokes in these issues, aside from the ninja stuff, is in the very first episode of the Tick cartoon.
Oh, yeah?
Like the whole bit with the Tick going to Arthur's apartment for the first time.
Oh, that was a good one.
Try to find the switch to turn it into the, like, superhero base. That's in the first episode. There's the part where he's in the diner and he tries to suck the guy's blood through the straw, that's in the first episode.
That was also good.
There's the Clark Oppenheimer character in the first episode too, but they don't spend a lot of time on him. It's like clearly this guy is supposed to be like a Superman character, but he can never get into a place where he can change his costume.
The funniest part about that issue for me was the Tick trying to do the crosswords.
Yeah.
And him like at a desk trying to type and trying to just, like, you made two words and one of them's not even a word.
The funny thing about, like, in the cartoon, I don't want to, it's hard for me not to talk about the cartoon because that's where my, like, knowledge of the Tick comes from. And I'll try to save some stuff for the episode where we actually talk about the cartoon.
Next week.
As, like, the central topic of the episode. But in the, you know, we spent a lot of time, at least, was like, two or three issues of the Tick trying to, be like, establish a secret identity before he kind of gives up on that.
Yeah.
He doesn't even bother in the... in the cartoon. He's just the Tick only.
Yeah, and we see more other superheroes like appear earlier in the cartoon, so it makes it clearer that like that's the universe you're living in. It's not just the Tick being a crazy person. It's actually a wacky, insane place. But I guess we do have the ninjas in the comic, right? And most places don't have like ninja unions.
No, and that's like a ninja franchise.
Yeah.
Well, and also, like, there'll be scenes of just, like, the subway and the crowd in the subway, and there'll just be, like, a ninja in the subway, like, going to work as a ninja, just, like, in the crowd. They're, like, the joke is that the Tick hates ninjas, and it seems like ninjas are everywhere, but if you watch in the crowds, ninjas are, like, everywhere. They're, like, in corners all over the fucking place.
So let me ask you this. So Jen and I both have previous experience with the Tick and... like preconceived notions. As somebody who had never watched the Tick show or anything like that, what did you think of this, Andy?
I thought it was really, really funny, but not something I would pick up on the reg. I don't know. Like, I'm also not somebody who really watches sitcoms. You know, like my wife and I don't have cable television, and I don't mean that like for the pretentious way. We have a fucking projector, and we will sit all fucking day and watch television. We just don't have cable. And so for us, if we want to watch something, we've got to go out of our way to watch it on Hulu or Netflix or something. And I never watch that stuff. If I want, the funniest thing I watch in the day is probably, honest to God, Top Gear. Like in the same way that I'd never actively search out sitcoms, I don't really actively search out funny comics. I love comics that happen to also be funny, like Justice League International, Doom Patrol by Keith Giffen also, like stuff like that where it's just like, this is a good comic with character development and action, all things you expect in the comic, but also is lighthearted and fun and interesting and funny. But just this like straight joke funny satire stuff, it feels like it's just like a page after page of like one-liners and jokes. Well, and some stuff hits and some stuff doesn't. But in general, I kind of like the idea. In the beginning, when it was Clark Oppenheimer and the world was trying to be serious, I didn't enjoy it as much. As soon as we were introduced to the ninjas being led by the district manager and their names were like Earl and Fred, that was awesome. I found all of that. I loved that and I thought that was hilarious. Just the idea of just the district manager as the arch nemesis villain.
So... you like the absurdity more than, like, just the gag humor.
Yeah, because when it was just the Tick being insane, it was like, okay, this is kind of weird, though. I don't know. And then, but just when the whole comic was like, you know what? Fuck it. We're just going to make everything crazy. Let's have a samurai hiding his sword and some bread.
So I think something for me personally is that I felt like the comic... that I am not in the target demographic for this comic. I feel like it was targeted at a much younger audience and was like a little more, I don't know, simple, or it required less general world knowledge to get the jokes. And I think part of the reason, and I know David and I keep going back to the cartoon, but it was a huge part of my childhood, so it's really hard to not compare, is that in the cartoon, I think... it's more like one of those things where they have all these little jokes where if you understand how the rest of, like, superheroes work, it's, like, a lot funnier. So there's a bit of, like, underlying quiet satire in there. And I don't know, I think the comic was, I guess, maybe a little more simple in its humor, and that threw me off a little, because it was just kind of like, well, here's a bunch of weird zany gags. I did find it funny, though, but as you said, like, I wouldn't pick it up week after week.
Yeah. I feel like when it really got into satire was issue 6 with the Red Scare.
Oh, yeah.
And Running Guy. And it was kind of like, yeah, if you're a hero and you're in, like, fucking Topeka, what the fuck are you gonna do? Really. Like, that got into the satire stuff for me, and that I enjoyed. But the rest of it was just kind of, if it was a running gag that stayed funny, like, the ninjas were funny for a while, but then when one of them stabbed Oedipus, like, on accident, they were like, holy shit, you stabbed her! Oh, fuck, I did! Like, that was like, you know, these guys are just all completely inept, and that's just funny. It's, they kind of reminded me of, like a Hydra Bob kind of a guy. But if they're just all Hydra Bobs.
Yeah.
And I will read the shit out of that. That's fun. That's the whole world getting built around it. And the Tick is just like, okay, he's a Tick in that Ticks jump really well and are super strong and are nigh invulnerable for their size, but they also have, like, no brain whatsoever. So, it makes sense that he's the Tick. But then that made me think, right? Like, okay, there was, like, a 3-page extra in issue 3 or 4, I want to say, I don't know, where they kind of go over his, like, escape, and they talk, one of the doctors observing him says, like, this guy has modeled himself after a Tick, and they were, like, mocking it a little bit, and I was kind of thinking, like, okay, wait, was he just, like, a normal dude, and then he decided one day, like, I want to be Spider-Man, but instead of spiders, Ticks. Yeah, Ticks are cool, they jump really well, they're strong, all that kind of shit. And so, like, he did something to himself to make himself like a Tick without realizing what would make himself super stupid and insane. Or did he just happen to be born like a human Tick and then decide to put on the costume and just embrace it? I don't know. this gets back into the whole thing. Like, I am interested in this, like, origin of the Tick, but at the same time, as much as I'm kind of curious about it, it literally couldn't matter less.
Yeah, I know what you mean there, because it's kind of like neat, but at the same time, he's not going to be a character who's going to be developed like that. This is not the kind of comic where there's any kind of seriousness where we ought to care about, like, if he was a normal person with strange burdens, or if he, like, you know, is just some funny, crazy guy.
Yeah. Yeah, but as opposed to Arthur, I love Arthur, and I want all Arthur all the time.
Arthur is so good. He's just like a fucking accountant or something.
Just right? Like, dude, you don't know how fucking boring it is here, man. I bought this suit, and there's nothing to do. Can I like hang out with you? Because you seem like an adventure kind of guy.
Like, it's a legit question, too, because it's kind of like, well, I mean, if you had the chance to hang out with a superhero and be his sidekick, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I think I would.
And I like their rapidly developing bromance.
Yeah.
The only thing that kind of put me off a little bit was that moment when they had to be like, wait, are you funny? And I was like, oh, this is from the time when being gay was funny.
I did not take it that way. That's interesting.
No? What, like, did you think it meant?
I thought he just meant, like, weird or crazy.
Oh, no, no.
Which struck me as funny, because the Tick is obviously insane.
Like, oh, no, no. I thought...
Okay. No, I think totally you're right. Think I just, like, it... I was oblivious.
Because they were, like, inviting... Wasn't Arthur like, do you want to stay here? Or it was something like that. Like, do you want to stay here with me? And Tick was like, whoa, whoa, wait, buddy, are you funny? And Arthur was like, no, I'm not funny. Are you funny? Like, it was that kind of thing. And then they had that moment of, like, there was these panels when they were obviously standing. It was just, like, the Tick's antennae poking into the frame on one side. And on the other side, it was, like, Arthur's hands or something poking in. It's, like, emphasizing the distance between them. And they tried to talk about how they had to go get some beers for manliness, and then later on they talk about having manly beers, and I'm like, oh, this is probably hilarious in the 90s when we made fun of gay people.
This was actually the 80s.
80s? Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go. Oh, man.
This was like 86, so.
This would have had you rolling in fits of laughter over gay people.
This would not, this was not fly nowadays.
No.
I think that just shows, like, how sheltered we are from that here, Like, it never would have occurred to me that someone would make that joke and mean it.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the thing, is I don't know, I don't, because this is a funny comic, it's kind of like, I'm sure Ben Edlund is just sitting there trying to fit as many jokes as he possibly can into this, just wham, bam, joke, 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 like that kind of thing. And this is one of those things that was probably really funny, like in a sitcom kind of way. And I'm sure if you watch sitcom from the 80s, every other guy might talk about how gay people are funny in the 80s. And that's just the way it was, because that was the funny business. But now it's like, oh, that joke did not age well at all.
No.
And I can't, like, fault him for trying to make a joke, because he's trying to write a funny comic. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the problem when you do topical humor like that.
Because he didn't say there was anything wrong about being gay. He didn't say anything. There was no overt, like, being gay is bad in this. There was just the, whoa, bro, I'm not gay. You gay? I'm not gay. No, 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 let's go get some manly beers. There was just that, like, the didn't age well component of it. Just the insensitivity of it. There was never like, oh, are you funny? Are you funny? No, I'm not funny. Funny people shouldn't get to marry, should they? No. There was no, like, didn't cross that line.
Yeah. But
so
still.
So you can give him a pass. It took me out of the reading experience. And that wasn't as funny as the tick walking around trying to find the secret crap. Like, no, dude, it's a lamp. It's not a secret anything. It's a lamp.
Dude, did you notice how ugly that lamp was?
Yes.
It has, like, an eagle on top and, like, some fruit on it or something.
Arthur has an ugly fucking apartment. Did you notice there's a panther statue on top of his television?
Yeah. It's like, what is up with this guy?
I don't know. But it's hilarious. Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to transition to something, but it's just like, so, what did you think about that joke? Actually, there was one panel that I did find intensely interesting, and it was a splash page. And it was where I think the tick was starting to get some sanity back. How he talked about how things weren't the same anymore. And it was like, it did like a thing of a gargoyle, and then thing of like a, like one of the fountains that comes out of a mouth of a statue. And then you turn the page and there's a full page, splash of like the buildings with twisted faces on them laughing at him. And I was like, this isn't a joke. This is really, this stands out in here. And this is like, this is what's in the tick's head, or this is what the tick is afraid of. Do you guys know the page I'm talking about?
Yeah, where the city's talking to him and telling him that he's, like, not competent or good enough to be a hero, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was actually surprisingly dark, and it kind of makes you think that he's just kind of, like, this, not even, like, crazy, but just, like, kind of loony dude who decided being a hero would be interesting and fun, kind of like Arthur, but a little more over the top. And then,
except he committed to it.
Yeah, he like committed, but then someone gets hurt and he's like, oh, that's not fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really surprised because I didn't expect anything of that tone in this comic at all.
And like reading that made me excited to read more Tick, because as much as the jokes are great, I also really look forward to the things that are like, what is the underlying character development happening here? Which I know I might be looking in the wrong place. But those moments show that, like, even in writing a funny comic like this, you can have brilliant moments that stand out. And it's not to mean that the rest of this might not also be brilliant in a different way, but those moments when they stand out at you, they really punch you with it, because you don't see it coming, you don't expect it at all. And I'm interested in reading more of this and seeing if any more of that kind of thing comes up.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're going to do genuine character development in the rest of the comic, or if it's just going to be, you know, the antics of Tick and Arthur in, like, a very, I don't know, happy-go-lucky, zany superhero kind of thing. I mean, I'd be happy to read it either way, but...
Yeah, I mean, it was a quick read. That's... At least it's got that going for it.
My guess is that it would probably be just the wacky adventures of... Because, I mean...
Yeah.
Do you really want to know what the Tick's... I mean, I kind of want to know what the Tick's origin is, but I don't think it would really serve this, the whole, like, idea of the comic, so...
Yeah, that's true. Because it's going to be dark. It's not going to be zany, and I think the whole point is to be goofy, right?
Yeah. And even when it is dark, it really puts a huge, zany, weird twist on it, like when the Tick just does senseless violence all the time. And it's just, like, it just plays off as funny, like, oh, a ninja hurt you, so I'm going to go destroy Ninja World. And it's like, dude, people work there, like, for a living.
Like, well, it's all just ninjas.
It's a dark thing to do. But it makes sense, and in the context, it's funny. I don't know.
That's kind of the other funny thing. Like, in this, ninjas were not people. Like, the Tick's villains are not... They're cartoon villains. That's what it's like watching, you know, Roadrunner trick Wile E. Coyote off the cliff. You don't feel bad for them. They're just cartoons.
Yeah.
Like, they're caricatures, I think is probably the best way to put it, so.
Yeah. Yeah. The art in this was really good.
Yeah, what did you think about the lack of color? I assume that was, like, more of a budget issue than anything else. But
I think I was okay with the lack of color. It's, I mean, there were some places where they described the color of something.
Yeah, they pointed out that the Tick was all blue.
I don't think it had, I think, like you said, it had more to do with a budgetary thing. Since this was originally published in, like, a newspaper.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah, so it was part of the newsletter for, it's called, like, New England Comics. Or New England Comic Shops. It's like a chain of comic book shops in the Boston area, and that's where Tick was originally published. It was just part of the newsletter.
Oh, I did not know that.
I actually found a website called, like, it was like a fan page about the Tick, and I was reading about some of the history of it. So yeah, that's where it comes from.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't do anything for me either way for it to not be in color. I don't know. It opens up opportunities for more jokes, you know, like, you could do a thing like every day that the Tick's outfit is a different color, but you as the reader can't tell at all. You know, you could do random shit like that. But yeah. for this story, it didn't really play a part at all. I really like the facial expressions on everybody, and there's just, The caricature, I think you're right with the character thing. It was so over the top, a lot of these expressions, but they were done really, really well.
Yeah, I just, I feel like the line work made it so the art stood out more. Cause, you know, in a lot of the newer stuff we read, there's a lot of really gorgeous, like, coloring and pencil work and inking. But here, when you strip it down to bare bones, that also shows a different kind of skill, which is equally interesting.
Yep.
I feel like it's really hard to talk about this comic.
It so is.
And it's funny because it seems like we all pretty much enjoyed it, but it's not like, maybe part of it is it's just easy to talk about things we either really love or really don't like. But it's just, and I think this is kind of the way the comic is too. It feels a little more cartoony, like almost like we're talking about, I don't know, something in the Sunday Funnies. Like, I wouldn't know what to say about a lot of that. I could be like, oh, it's pretty good. I enjoyed it. But it's hard to make, I don't know, declarative statements.
Yeah, it's like reviewing like a stand-up comic routine. Like, that joke was funny, and that joke wasn't. I don't know what more I can do.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. Comedy is hard to comment on, because I think it's easy to say things when you find jokes bad. But, you know, you find a joke funny, and we could explain why it's funny, but no one likes to explain jokes, right?
Yeah, it's also... Because it's jokes, it's so subjective. What's funny to one person in one way might not be funny to another person, or might be funny to another person in an entirely different way than it's funny to you. Like, I don't know. Gallagher was huge. I don't understand the whole watermelon smashing thing. I don't get it. Like, but it was like a big thing. People went, they paid tons of money to get watermelon splashed on them when he hit it with a hammer. Like, I know there's some satirical thing going there, but I don't get it. I don't know. I don't care. Like, I just, your prop humor. I'm not rolling for prop humor. I mean, have fun, Carrot Top, but that ain't me. It, you know, it, but like this is funny. I laughed at this. This is just like a sitcom for me. I don't know. Or a funny cartoon. Like, it probably will be next week.
And you know, it makes a good cartoon. It makes a great Saturday morning cartoon because it's just like one week of gags at a time and then you're done with it. You consume it and then move away.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's kind of what the purpose of this is.
Well, I honestly don't have anything else to say about this. Do you guys?
Not really.
No.
All right. You ready to rate it?
Sure.
I'm going to go first, and I'm going to give this a 2.5. It's just funny, you know, if you like funny comics, if you like absurdism, read The Tick. I kind of feel like if this is something that would be funny for you, you'd probably already have heard of it. And, you know, I mean, it's fine. I'm happy I read it. I'll probably read like 4 more issues and then be done. So yeah, 2.5. David?
You know, I'm gonna agree with you and go with, 2.5. This comic was, I enjoyed it, I thought it was funny. It certainly feels a bit dated, but yeah. If you like, you know, if you enjoyed the Tick cartoon or maybe the Tick TV show, I think, you will probably like this too. It's pretty good. Yeah, 2.5. I don't know.
Pretty much. Jen?
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 3. I mean, oh. I think it's better than average, but I also want to say that I am certain that feeling stems from nostalgia. Like, 100% certain, because I looked at it and I was like, ah, this guy. Right? And that's a very different thing than if I had just picked up the comic with no context. It was like seeing something and maybe I could say, okay, it didn't really hold up to how funny I thought the cartoon was as a kid, but hey, you know, the heart of it is still there. I can't possibly judge what I would have thought about it if I hadn't watched it. Maybe I don't think I would have liked it as much. But I don't know. It's hard to talk about, as I said, so 3.
Yeah. All right. That's it for the Tick for now. Next week comes the anime. You guys want to do trivia?
Yeah.
Trivia.
I have a question lined up for you about Nightwing.
Nightwing?
Nightwing. Dick Grayson Nightwing.
Oh, God. Shit. 2.
2? Okay. 2. So, we know that Nightwing has been on a number of teams. The question is, which team has he not been on? And your choices are the JLA, the Outsiders, Justice League Task Force, or Infinity Inc.
Ooh. Okay, he has been on Outsiders. Task Force sounds like a thing he would have been on. Which leaves, what are the other two?
The JLA and okay. Infinity Inc.
Oh, Infinity Inc. Oh, Infinity Inc. I think, I'm gonna go with Justice League of America. He was never on the Justice League of America.
Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
I am sorry, he was not on Infinity Inc.
Ah, ballsack.
Come on, Andy, don't you know who Infinity Inc. is? That was the manufactured super team by Lex Luthor.
Oh, shitballs, that's right. I'm an idiot. Ugh.
Although I didn't know he was on Task Force X, because that is the Suicide Squad, right? But
is it? I didn't know that. Huh.
I know nothing about Dick. I know Dick about
you don't
Dick.
Know Dick, Andy, huh?
I don't know Dick. All right. I'm going to go next. I'm going to ask David. David, your topic is The Tick.
Oh, great. Okay. Bring it. Oh, I have to guess?
Yeah, you got
to
give me a number of negative points.
Four?
Huh?
What do I have, negative four?
You're right at now? Negative four, and you can go... So we've decided that you can go as low as a negative 10. We're all going to probably bottom out by the end of
I'm gonna
this.
I'm going to go with three.
Three? Okay. So this is a bit of a trick question.
Great.
And there's six answers. Because it's six? Not like a normal thing.
Jeez.
This happened in the trade we dressed red. What issue was the first appearance of Arthur? Okay. Was it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6?
I'm trying to think. I understand why it's a trick question now. I'm just trying to remember why, or which issue this was.
Why is it a trick question?
Well, because there's a part where Tick is on a rooftop and you see Arthur's shadow. I'm trying to think. I think it was issue. It was either 3 or 4. I'm sure it was either 3 or 4. I'm going to go with 3.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
The correct answer is issue 1.
Oh, really? Issue 1?
Issue 1. Huh. He is visible in, like, the corner of a frame flying overhead.
Oh, you know, actually, I think now that you mentioned it, I think I remember that.
He's, like, having a conversation with somebody, and he's just, like, in the corner of the frame overhead, just, like, watching the Tick.
Yeah, okay, so I'm looking at issue... I just looked at issue 3 now, and he is in issue 3, but it's just his shadow, but I'll have to go back and look at issue 1.
And in issue 4 is when he comes full and says, I'm Arthur, and this is me, and this is my shtick and things. So yeah, issue 4 is when he, like...
-7? Jesus Christ.
-7.
Oh, that's not so bad.
And gents, this is -9, and like we said, the lowest you can go is -10. So, I mean...
I'm a bet 5.
Yeah, fuck it. If you lose, you're only going to lose 1. Yeah.
All right, here you go, Jen. Maybe this will help you out a little bit. This is about a Neil Gaiman book.
Oh, shit.
But it is Marvel 1602.
Okay, okay.
We read that.
We did read it many, many years ago.
Many moons ago.
So your question for this one is, who is Sir Nicholas Fury's assistant in the comic? Is it Sir Anthony Stark, Matthew Murdock, Peter Parquois, or Dugan, Duke of Stratford?
Oh, the 1602 names are so delightful. Oh, wait, you
didn't bet points? Oh, you said
I already bet 5. She bet 5. It has to be. So, let's see. It's definitely not the Tony Stark equivalent. And I, you know, you'd want to say Dugan, right? Because that would be the equivalent. But wasn't Peter Parquois like the I don't know, what's the term for knight in training type of guy? The squire. Wait, so who was, it was...
So like your choices are Sir Anthony Stark, okay. Matthew Murdock, Peter Parquois, or Dugan, Duke of Stratford.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm trying to remember, too.
Sir Nicholas Fury's assistant. I want to say Peter Parquois.
Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
I think you're right.
For the first time, it seems like ever, we got an answer. Somebody got a correct answer.
Hey! Oh, that was a burn.
No, I mean, like, all of us are, like, terrible at this. I meant to say not you, but...
No,
like,
it's just funny.
Out of nowhere, Jen is in the Come lead back. Now.
I are winner.
Well, so she has, what, -4 now? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Let's get all the scores.
Jen, -4. Andy, -5. David, -7.
We're so bad at this.
Like, Jen went from last to first, and David went from like fighting for it to being like clear out last.
No, this is how you make a good game. You have to have like the tension and the drama.
Yeah, it would be more exciting probably if we weren't all fighting in the negatives.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's like that episode of Jeopardy where everyone is just failing horribly. And, like, it's kind of neat, but then you're like, oh, God, these guys.
Oh, God, none of you should have been on this show. This is Celebrity Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Which is a funny, you should go see that clip. That's it for this week. Next week we're going to do the Tick animated show. Yes. The Little Wooden Boy in the Belly of Love. That's season 2, episode 1. I know nothing about this except that it is the highest rated episode on IMDb for the cartoon. So.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask you why you picked this episode of all of them. Because there's like 3 episodes, or 3 seasons. But this actually is a pretty good one. If it was up to me to pick an episode, I would have picked The Tick versus The Tick, which is like a season 1 episode.
Is it? Okay. Well, let's do that then. The Tick.
Well, versus, we can do both. It's only a 30-minute show. So.
Oh, yeah, Tick versus let's do Tick, both.
That, what is that, season 1?
It is, I think, season 1, episode 7, maybe?
Episode 7? Okay, we'll say tentatively. Either way, now we're going to read The Tick versus The Tick and The Little Wooden Boy in the Belly of Love. Let's do 2. Fuck it. Why not? We can make the decision. Who's going to tell us we can't? You? Listener? You know what? You probably could. If you were a patron on Patreon at patreon.com/welcometocomics, and you told us, no, fuck that, I only want one episode at a goddamn time, we would probably change it. We would do one at a time. We might add another episode to the arc. But you know what? You only get that power if you're a patron. If you send me an angry email and you're not a patron, I'm just going to blow you off.
We're reasonable people if you give us money.
Yeah. And honestly, it could be a penny. I don't even care. As long as you drop some support, I'm down.
And I have confirmed that it is, in fact, season 1, episode 7.
All right, cool. That's next week. Until then, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.